Okay, today I have to speak by my own, no translator. So I will speak in English first and Chinese. If I forgot to speak any language, please remind me. Okay, so today we continue to the chapter 3 of the 10 chakra of the Earth Dog Bodhisattva. If you remember, we proceed to the content of the undependable action. Okay, if I remember correctly the English term. 那我们呢讲到了第三卷，好，第三卷就是无依行品。好，那无依行品顾名思义就是你做了之后呢，这个不要讲解脱到了，然后连修定都不可得。So from the term independable actions means if you perform any of the actions, you cannot even attend samadhi and let alone liberation. Okay, so this is very important for all the practitioners to know that what not to do. And the next chapter is what to do, okay, and how to get liberation. And from last talk, we know that the key to liberation is the purified mind. Okay, 那我们上次知道，从上次的 talk 知道说，其实修行最重要的是要有清净心。So, 那So we get to the point to discuss how to have the purified mind, how to purify our mind. If we don't have a purified mind, no matter we practice samadhi meditation or we chant or even cultivate merits, none of them will get us to liberation. We only accumulate some of the merits. Sometimes we even generate vexations for doing those practice. Okay, we've explained that in the last talk. 所以上次我们有讲到说，如果没有清净心呢，即便是修定、诵习或是习福，就是培福啊，这三个本来是佛陀给我们的方便法，要让我们得解脱的方便法。如果没有了清净心呢，它不仅不能得解脱，有时候反而下堕，反而烦恼更多。那我们上次的演讲已经有讲到为什么是这个样子。 So then we talk about the key to purify the mind is to uphold the precepts. 那我们上次在最后的时候讲到如何来清净我们的心，最重要的就是什么，持戒。我来看一下哈，那如何持戒哈？在那个，好 ，So how to uphold the precept? What the precepts are? In this sutra, it mentioned specifically the four precepts, and these four precepts also are mentioned in the Sarangama Sutra.And in the Sarangama Sutra, they call these four teachings for pure conduct, four teachings for the pure conduct, which are related to the four precepts of abstain from sexual desire, from killing, from stealing, and from the great lies, okay, which is you are not attained Buddhahood, but you tell people that you have attained Arhatship or Buddhahood. And why Sarangama specifically mentioned that all the practitioners that need to follow these four teachings to uphold these four precepts means if you don't do that, then you cannot attain whatever the teaching taught in the Sarangama Sutra. Okay, 那如何来清净心哈？在楞严经里面哈，特别提到了一个四种清净明慧，提到了四种清净明慧。那这时候四种清净明慧就是不杀、不淫欲、不偷盗、不妄语。那这四个是非常重要的，想要得好，比如说楞严大定，好，想要得解脱，一定要就是要守这四个戒，好，它叫做它不叫四个，它在里面是叫清净明慧，好，就是它说这个字眼就非常好，就是你要心得清净，你就要持这四个戒，好，好，那么呢？So I generate a table to want to show you if we as a samadhi practitioners, if we don't follow these four precepts, what is it like to practice? Okay, 那我有一个 table 哈，就是把在楞严经里面讲是说，如果我们不持守这四个清净的明慧呢，修禅定者呢。就好像是什么 For example, if we don't keep away from sexual desire, our practice will be like wanting to make the rice out of sand. Okay, just like the accents of your mind is just like a sand. If you want to cook it, it's impossible.And if you cannot keep away from killing, it will be like someone shouting to you while you are covering your ears. So you cover your ears, no matter what people scream and shout at you, want to tell you something, you cannot hear. And if you cannot keep away from stealing, it's like you wanting to fill a leaking bucket.Keep leaking away. And so if you cannot keep away from great light, it's like seeking wonderful fragrance from the excrement shape as sandalwood. So usually we carve the Buddha statue use the sandalwood, right? But if you use the what I mean is you use the stool, you know, the drop, the poop, and to carve it as the a Buddha statue, you will never get the fragrance from the sandalwood, okay? 所以在楞严经里面呢，他就有提到说，如果呢你不能够断淫的话呢，那就好像是你想要这个如蒸砂石欲其成饭，就好像你想要煮砂，你想要煮饭，但是你用砂，那你是没有办法的。 Okay, so you see the table here. So if you cannot, 如果你不能不砂，那就好像说你把耳朵塞起来了，那人家高声大叫怎么样告诉你佛法你都听不进去的。如果你不能断偷盗，好，那就好像说你拿了一个脸盆啊，有一个洞，然后你一直灌水，你一直在修行，那它永远是不会满的哈。那如果说你呢不断除这个大妄语哈，它就好像说呢，你把那个粪便哈拿来当成檀香木哈，要雕刻，然后你想要有那个檀香味是不可能的。所以这个四个在出家人来讲，这四个是根本戒。那在修行上来讲，在楞严经来讲，它是四种清净明慧。Okay, let me show you the previous, what the Sarangama Sutra talk about, the four teachings for pure conduct. So, By practicing these four teachings for pure conduct, this is what it called collecting the mind, and this is what we call the precepts. Okay, 所以四种清净明慧呢，它其实就是以色心为戒，来修行的。那修禅定者就必须要能够，这是在所有的经本里面都会提到的一个戒律，所以它本身并不是说好像说是佛教才有的戒律。 So this is not like only the Buddhist monastic or Buddhist need to keep. This is the fundamental precepts as a human or as a practitioners. So by in this 10 chakras of Aristotle Sutra, it mentioned that if we keep this four fundamental precepts, and it will help us keep away from the 10 unwholesome dhammas. 那在这个十论经里面特别提到说，如果我们能够善护这四个根本的戒，那我们会远离十种恶法。那当然这十种恶法里面就是十善法、十二法，就不再重复。 So I will not keep repeating what is the 10 unwholesome dharma. It's the opposite of the 10 wholesome dharma, which is the 10 actions of the body, speech, and mind. Okay. And the fundamental guideline for keeping away from the 10 unwholesome dharma is to first no slandering the Buddha, no slandering the Dharma, and no slandering the Sangha. Okay, it sounds like very basic teachings, but it's very core teachings if we understand correctly about what it means. 那这个远离十二法，那在这里经典里面特别非常的强调，不要毁谤诸佛如来，不要毁谤 诸佛圣教，不要毁谤出家弟子，也就是说不要毁谤佛法僧三宝。那这在我们一般好像常常听到耳朵都要长茧了，就是就算佛法僧三宝嘛。那但是他如果我们能够了解真实的意义的话，我们会知道说它是非常的重要的，那也是非常容易犯的。So actually, in our daily life, it's very easy for us, even monastic, to kind of violate these three guidelines: no slandering the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And we will continue, and you will see. And I will briefly tell you what is the merits for upholding the four fundamental precepts. Okay, this is very important. This four fundamental precepts sounds like the basic virtue for all the human beings, but it's really to fully uphold it perfectly. So more or less, we violate some, and so we need to perfect our practice to uphold the four fundamental precepts. 那我要大概讲一下说，如果能够善护持这四个根本戒的功德是什么。原因在于说，其实这四个戒，这四个根本戒其实听起来是做人基本的道理，好像一般的人不会去犯这个戒的。但是呢，不管是在家出家，身为的佛弟子，在家出家这四个是重戒。 如果出家人犯了其中的任何一个四根本戒，其中一个是要还俗的。So 那我要解释一下，是因为其实要能够清净的持守这四个根本戒是不容易的。那我们或多或少 都会去触犯到它。那只是说我们有没有觉察到，那我们有没有去忏悔它。 OK, 那 the first, if we can uphold these four fundamental precepts, we are able to create favorable causes to facilitate all types of practice with and without our fault, enabling the growth of all development dharmas. 就是说持守这个 世界，第一个我们是可以建立有漏无漏的善法声音，一切善法皆得成长。 So as a practitioner, if you are long-term practitioner, long enough, you know, we will see actually even though 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, we keep practicing, and we see our practice is up and down. Sometimes obstacles arise, sometimes things happen. And so it's really hard for us to keep forward and keep upward smoothly. We will fall and climb up and fall again and climb up. We just keep repeating this cycle. So to have a good causes and to practice smoothly and to be able to accumulate the merits without outflow actually is very precious conditions for the practitioners. 那如果我们修行的够久，我们就会看到我们自己的修行之路其实是上上下下，进进退退，那一下子好像有好像有进步了，忽然之间什么事情发生之后呢，然后又忽然好像下堕了，又有什么事情让你忙了之后你又没有修行了，然后一下子这样一下那样。其实想要持续的往前往上的修行是很不容易，是很殊胜的功德善因才有这样的一个情形出现。所以持这四个根本的戒呢，就会成就我们所有的修行可以无漏，就是无漏而且持续增长持续增上的。 And next is no matter we are Saravakas or Pratya Buddhas or practitioners of the Mahayana practitioners, all of these three kinds of practitioners can sustain, can be peacefully and uphold our practice. And what it means that no matter which lineage tradition we practice, for example, if we practice Hinayana, we practice Mahayana, sometimes we will get confused. We will see, maybe the other practice is better. And then so you cannot settle your mind with your practice. You are always looking outwards to see a better practice or better tradition or better way to polish your practice. So in these conditions, our mind is always like unsettled. And this is very, 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 it is not a good condition for a practitioner to have unsettled mind. It's better that we can settle our mind on certain practice that has good affinity with us at that time. And we just keep practice it until some better condition arise and we can move upward. If we cannot settle our mind with even any method, and we will never get any progress. Okay. 那所以持戒又有一个功德是说，不管我们是属于声闻圣、独觉圣或是大圣的修行者，我们都能皆得安住。安住是一个非常重要的一个情形。假设说 其实修小圣很好，修大圣也很好，你又修金刚圣也很好，修任何一个 传统的只要是正性的方法都非常好，只要你能够在你当下的因缘呢安住在你相应的方法上面的话呢，那你的修行才能够有进步。好，如果说我们修这个方法然后眼睛一直往外，那个齁有灌顶呢齁，那个四谈天呢还可以看到宿命通，就是你一直在心就很不安住的一直想要找更好的齁更快速的方法的时候呢，你任何一个方法都不能让你能够成长的齁，所以你要能够安住一个方法也要有善根因缘的齁，那如果能够持这个世界清净齁，他就可以给你这样的一个一个因缘齁。And next is, if we can uphold these four precepts, we are able to obtain all types of concentration and samadhi to abide in the noble path until the achievement of the supreme body. So, in other words, no matter what practice we are using, eventually we will get the path to the ultimate, to attain the Supreme Buddha. That's very important. Sometimes, as a Buddhist practitioners, we always compare. We think this tradition is better than that, the other. And we think this teacher is better than the other. And we think this temple is better than the other. You know, we are always compare our teacher, our temple, our tradition, whatever, and then we will never get to the ultimate because all the Buddhist teachings point to the same direction. Okay. 那如果能够持四个根本戒呢，我们可以求得这个一切念定总持安忍圣道乃至无上正等正菩提。也就是说所有的方法只要我们能够用清净心去修持它，我们就可以得总持。总持的意思是说这个方法如果我们修到它是总持的时候，意思是说它就是直通佛道，叫做总持，不然其他都是方便法。好，那不会修行的人什么方法都是只是方便法，会修行的人随便念一句佛号都是总持，念一句佛号都可以证得无上正等正觉。好，怕是怕我们不会念，怕是怕我们的心有污染。好，好，再过来哈，就是说 the next is if we keep these four fundamental precepts, this is very important. No matter you uphold the precept or not, you will treat everyone equally without mockery, egotism or harsh words, and for those who break the precept.And then in a way that enable the growth of all wholesome dharmas. Upholding the precepts is not trying to make us feel superior. Like, I uphold the precept perfectly. My mind is pure. Your mind is not pure, you know, I'm the good person, you are the bad person. This is, if we have this mindset, we will never uphold these four fundamental precepts perfectly. Okay, you still have wholesome and unwholesome, you still have good and bad attitude, and it's impossible.To uphold these four fundamental precepts perfectly. So by keeping these four precepts, we are able to let go of the discrimination of the illusory mindset of keeping the precept is good person and break the precept is bad person. Okay, so we treat everyone equally. That's very important. That's the purpose of keeping the precept, to have equal, treat people equally and have the mindset of equanimity. Okay, 那这个又很重要哈，就是我们呢，这个身体是一个法器，就是我们持戒就是一个法器。当我们破戒的时候呢，就是非法器，这个法器破掉了，破戒了哈。但是如果我们持戒四戒清净的话呢，我们对于持戒清净跟破戒的人呢，我们的心是平等的。我们不会嘲笑那破戒的人，我们不会觉得自己持戒清净就好像哦好高高在上啊，也不会去喝骂那些破戒的人，这样子才能够生一切善法。所以在这边提出一个非常重要的持戒的目的，是在于养成一个对众生平等的心。对众生如果不平等，我们是不可能达到什么这个平等心的地步，那就不可能持戒清净。所以这个部分呢后面会再提。So, later in this talk, I will talk about how we, practice to face those who violate the precepts. How we handle them. How we, have the right mindset, handling those people, especially monastic in the Sangha. OK, 那在最后面的后面这个 talk 的重点呢，就是要跟大家分享佛陀在僧众里面呢，他如何来维护所有的法师的这个持戒。那如果我们犯了戒，我们应该怎么处理？那你们可以从我们可以从这个过程中去体会到佛陀护持众生持戒的那种慈悲心。Okay. Okay, so the last one is, whenever the Buddha expound the proper Dharma, the utmost joy and pure faith flourished if we can keep the four precepts and treat all sentient beings without differentiation.Use the four means of conversion to attract and benefit them universally, so that all sentient beings which abide in the Dharma benefit from the Dharma bliss and live accordingly. 那也就是说呢，在护持这个四本根本戒的功德里面，最后一个是说，当如来说正法的时候呢，我们会生长第一欢喜的净性。我们听到佛陀说法的时候会很欢喜，会很怎样尽兴，会用清净心去相信佛陀说的东西，这个对我们佛教徒来讲也是非常重要的。然后于诸有情无差别想，看到所有种种芸芸的众生没有什么上下高低好坏的差别，然后可以用四色法了，平等色受。四色法是要度众生的一个非常重要的方法，但是当我们在度众生的时候，我们都想去度那个好度的啦，不好度的就赶快散嘛，麻烦的要命。但是持戒清净的人他就不会这个样子。那一切有情呢，能够接供依止，让所有的有情都能够依止这个四个戒，那受用法乐而自存活。所以他这个他的持戒的功德越讲就是越深入了。那但是这一品But this chapter is talk about the independable actions, which means that it's very good that we can keep the four precepts perfectly.But what if we violate the precepts? The purpose is that we all easily violate the precepts and how we handle it. if we don't handle it properly, actually we are violating the precept as well. Means if we don't handle the people who violate the precepts properly, we also violate the precept. Got it? 所以呢, 在大宝基经里面讲, 什么是破戒? 什么是真破戒呢? 他说, 物自是持戒, 毁犯, 轻毁犯戒者, 世戒凌于人, 四名真破戒。 就是说, 当我们自己呢, 持戒, 还持得不错, 可是呢, 如果我们去轻毁那些犯戒的人呢, 然后呢, 好像就让人家觉得说, 哇, 你很清静, 啊, 我很差这样子, 那我们就是, 我们也犯戒, 有听懂这层意思吗? 没有处理好自己对于犯戒人的心态, 的时候我们同时也犯罪也犯戒, 所以这是非常重要的, So this is very important. And how to handle those who violate the precept. And I know Bill is a lawyer, you know how you handle the crime when you try to defend for them. No, if you take the case, you try to defend for the crime, and what is your mindset? You know, people will argue that they are crime, don't defend for them.
Well, no, the countervailing principle is always the idea that goes way back to the founding fathers of our country, that government isn't always right. They can make mistakes too. Mm-hmm. Right, the police and the courts and so on, they can make mistakes. Mm-hmm. They're not perfect, you know, in terms of their thinking. And so to protect the average citizen from being pulled into the legal system and accused of something that they really didn't do, to try to protect that as many citizens from that as possible, well, we have rules in place about how they have to act. You know, the person who's brought in has a right to a lawyer, mm-hmm. and that lawyer will have been trained.
Keep going. I just try to increase your volume. Okay.
You know, anybody who's accused of a crime and is brought into the court system has a right to a lawyer, and that lawyer's job is to defend that person. And that means to say, you guys in the prosecution are saying that he did this, he did that. Well, he didn't do this and he didn't do that. And we can prove it because we have, say, these witnesses who say, you say it happened at 10:30 p.m. on Thursday. Well, we have three people here who can swear that this guy was having dinner with them at 10:30 p.m. on Thursday and therefore could not have been at the place where the crime was committed. You know, that's just one example.
Let me translate. 所以他基本上是说,身为一个律师,他要辩护,对吧?那是说,政府呢,还有国家,还有法令的机制,一定有一些漏洞,或是说他有一些瑕疵,所以他必须,身为一个律师,他必须要找出很多证据来帮这个所谓的犯人呢,来 defend. Then my question is, how you see the attorney who defend O.J. Simpson?
Wait, what was that again? How does
how you see the attorney who defend for O.J. Simpson, who for those who think we think that maybe he committed a crime or something.
Well, if they're duty bound by the legal system and by the vows that they've taken when they become defense lawyers, their job is to defend the defendant. And now if they eat. But they also, I mean, the system, it's a big system. It's been around for a while. There have been a lot of thinking about it. And so there's a rule system that applies to both the prosecution and to the defense. That's a well-established set of rules. And you're not allowed to lie. You're not allowed to knowingly have your, you know, if you're the defendant's attorney, and the defendant just just confesses to you and says, yeah, I did it. I was there. I killed the guy. Well, that puts you in a bad position as the defendant's attorney, because you're really not supposed to allow the defendant to get on the stand and lie. Right. And so, you know, it's very tricky because it's very, you know, it's hard to know what really happened. And so it's very complex. It's very tricky. There are rules in place that are designed to try to make sure that everybody who's accused of a crime has at least a good chance at getting a good defense. And but then there are other rules in place for the that allow the, you know, that try to imply that the prosecution will, you know, if the guy really is guilty, we want him to get convicted. Okay. Mm-hmm. That if he's really guilty, we want him to get convicted. So we don't make it totally impossible for the prosecution, but we also don't make it totally easy for them to convict people who maybe aren't guilty. Right? Okay. You know, it's just a big system of rules that have developed over a long period of time.
Thank you. You point out very good points. That means everyone deserve a chance, right? 所以 Bill 刚刚已经讲哈，他说我的问题是说，那我们怎么看待那个为那个 O.J. Simpson 哈辩护的那个律师嘛？哈，因为大家都觉得说他应该是杀了他太太的嘛，哈，那怎么会有一个律师要帮他辩护呢？那 Bill 碰到一个很重要的，在法律之前。每一个人都有机会去为他自己辩护，但是他的主要是说他没有做这件坏事情，那他就算那个证据怎么显现他就是他，可是如果他没有做，他就有他有机会去为他自己辩护，那律师就要扛起这个责任。因为在这个我们社会上 In our society I think there are so many wrong What is that called? The wrong
convictions?
Yeah. So yeah, people put it in the jail for 30 years and found out that, wrong punishment, you know. So, 所以在这个世界上还是有很多冤狱的嘛，哈。那如果说这个法律系统它很轻易的就判我们罪的话，其实对我们是不好的。好，同样的 ,the same applies to the Sangha. You know, like, how about if a Sangha violated precepts?Especially the four fundamental precepts. If actually from our vows, if we violate any of the four fundamental precepts, we need to disrobe and leave the Sangha. So what happened? There are some principles. I think the way Buddha handled the defense process is very wise and compassion. And for all of us, we can learn from it. Even though if you are parents in the family, if your kids violate the rules or violate the law, and how you can help them. And that's very important, I think, from this sutra.But the most important, the very unusual part is how Buddha prays for those who can wear this, what is that called? Kasa, this one. Jasa. 就是说在但是呢在这个章节里面有一个非常重要 Okay, you can put it here.有一个非常重要的关键点哈，是在于佛陀如何称赞可以出家的，可以出家去穿这件袈裟的人。那我们任何一个人，包括出家众，看待破戒比丘心态应该怎么样哈？我必须承认哈，我有时候哈，也是心态不对了哈。So I have to commit that actually.My way to look at those monastic who didn't behave well, I also have a discriminate mind to look at them. So this teaching helped me to correct me my attitude and help me better understand what it means to wear this kasas. Doesn't mean that because I wear this, so you have to respect me. You are not respecting me, okay? You respect this. Okay, me too. I have to respect for all of those who wear this. And especially because we understand the precepts, so we can easily identify that who didn't follow the precepts. And so it's more important for the monastic to have this correct mindset, how we see our brothers and sisters who violate the precept and how to handle it. And the same apply to all of you in the same family, in the same company, organization, in the same country, or in this same world. How we treat each other if we make mistakes. Okay? So, here. How we pointed out bhikkhus breaking of precepts. Okay? Here. First of all, Buddha said that. You know, because the question raised is that, oh, if, you know, in this world, you know, the condition is so bad and bhikkhu, you know, and they commit some bad behavior, you know, break the precept, what we should do? How can we expel them, you know, punish them? And the first Buddha says that, I will not allow anyone or to list the transgressions of bhikkhus. I do not even condone any scolding within the group of bhikkhus. How would I ever allow expulsions? If anyone fails to follow this teaching, it would be considered a grave transgression indeed. So, in other words, if a bhikkhu who violate the precepts, lay people cannot do anything to punish the bhikkhus. And even within the Sangha, the way we need to handle those who violate the precept, we have to do it by the rules, by the precepts, to handle who break the precepts. We cannot say, oh, you're the bad guy, you violate the precept, without any chance to defend themselves, and then we punish them. For example, oh, I saw you out of the 5-star hotel with a woman. You know, something like that, you know, like, ah, how can you come out from the room with a woman in the hotel? You violate the precepts. No, we cannot do that. We have our process. We need a defending system in order to actually, as you know, we have a Dharma heirs have this trouble in Singapore. Okay. Well, he did something wrong, you know, where they close. But people argue that, you know, he came out from the hotel, something. Anyway, from us, we cannot definitely say that he violated the precept or not, because we need to have a process for him to defend. Okay, we cannot just by, oh, he came up with the hotel, you know, something, and he violated the precepts. Okay, so there is a process, but Sangha will do this process, but not lay people. The reason is that everyone need to respect the bhikkhus, including bhikkhuni, okay? So, Buddha said, why is that? Even though this bhikkhu violated the precept, after the process, we know he violated the precept, we cannot disrespect this person. Buddha in this sutra says that he wants to protect us, not protect this bhikkhu who violate the precepts. Well, the process is try to help protect the bhikkhu. at the same time, it's more important to help us protect our mind, protect our pure mind. Okay, so there is an example in our precept books. There is a queen. She liked to make offerings, big offerings, in her past life. So at the Buddha's age, she also become a queen. Okay, so she liked to offer as well. So she offered, and then she listened to Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha's talk. And when Buddha says something, I forgot the content, and then she was so touched, so she wanted to release the four male slaves that served her. This is very difficult in India. If you are categorized in the slave level, you never get out of that slave, okay? But the queens can have the authority to free them. But when the queen tried to free them, these four slaves don't want to go, you know? They say, oh, please, I want to stay with you. I want to serve you. And the queen just feels so strange, you know? So then she asked the king, Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha, why is that? I want to cultivate the merits. I want to free the slave. Why they don't want to leave? Buddha said that because in the past life, you are still a queen who like to make offering. And these four slaves are monks at that time. And then because it's in the hungriest, the drowners that nobody harvests the rice. So there is, when they try to ask for the alms, no one can offer alms for them. So they are so hungry. So they find out a way is to, four of them, they point one, say, okay, you now is arhat. And then three of them go out and say, oh, this one attend arhathood. So these queens feel very exciting. I want to offer arhat. So she offered the house, offered the food, offered the jewelry to these four monks. You know, they lie, right? Okay. But because the queen make this offering, her merits make her become a queen in the following life. And the four monks who tell the great lie become a slave for this queen. And because they are still not finished paying back the debt, so they don't want to leave. Okay. So the story tells us that you make offering sincerely. Even though you make offering to those who violate the precept, you still have your merits. And the those who violate the precepts, they lie, they have their karma. They have to pay back, right? The same thing here. If you see the people who violate the precepts, you show your respect to the Sangha, to this Kasa. And that's your merit. And if you, unfortunately, you slander them, you punish them in this sutra, and if you are the king, you kill them or torture them, you are torturing the three jewels. You are torturing the Sangha, not that person. So Buddha, this is very different. So Buddha encouraged us, you know, please, when you see, especially lay person, when you see any bhikkhu who violate the precepts, you still respect because they wear this kasa, okay? And you still cultivate respecting the Sangha. Don't slander them. And those who commit the violate the precepts, they have their karma, and the Sangha has the process, defending system to punish them. Okay, so why we need to respect those who leave home, who wear this kasa? Because for people who see them has 10 virtues. So he who follow, the Buddha said, he who follow my teachings and becomes a monastic, even if he breaks the precepts, anyone have seen his monastic appearance and consequently given rise to the 10 types of auspicious contemplation, then this person should receive limitless merits. 就是说，如果随佛出家的人呢，他虽然破戒了，但是呢，如果你任何一个人看到他出家的外形，那产生十种思维，那就可以获得无量的功德。好，这跟 This is different from this kind of respect.Why is so auspicious? It's so easy for us to show our respect to the great master, you know, like Dalai Lama, like Master Sun Yan, like Thich Nhat Hanh, you know, we know they are great master. Everybody press down, you know, give offering, you know, do whatever they want us to do. It's so easy because everybody knows that they are great master.But right now is you still generate the auspicious respect to those who violate precept only because they wear this kasa. That means you have strong faith in the Buddha, in the Dharma, in the Sangha. And you are following the Dharma, not following the person. Huh?为什么说我们说在这个状况下，如果你看到破戒的人哦，那你看到他仍然穿着袈裟，你还可以产生这十种殊胜的思维，是非常殊胜的，可以获得无量的功德。好，当我们看到啊，我们看到师父哇，每个人哇顶礼呀，哈供养。看到哇，达赖喇嘛、一行禅师哈，什么法王啊、大宝法王哇，每个人都尊敬供养，这有什么难呢？因为大家都知道他们是圣者哈，比如就是大修行人。这难就难在说，你看到这个人哈，这个比丘做坏事情，但是他穿着一个袈裟，你还可以产生十种殊色的思维、恭敬的心。表示你的内心深处对于三宝有无上的信心，然后你也可以依法不依人，这是非常难的。那相对来讲，你的功德也非是无量的。当然 I have to quickly go through the ten virtue auspicious contemplation. If you see, okay, the bhikkhu who violated the precept, you still generate, oh, when you see the kasa, you thought about Buddha, not thought about this bad person. You're wonderful. And then you thought about, oh, the precept is so precious, even though he violated it. Precept is also precious. 那比如说你看到那件袈裟，你还是想到佛，那你的功德你绝对不会去皈依外道了齁。然后你还会产生念圣戒，还到想到十戒齁，还到想到什么五戒。你看到破戒的人，你还想到这个戒非常的重要。齁，哎，你的功德无量齁，你不会齁破或骂说那个出家人守戒有什么用，还不是乱搞齁。你还会讲哇，戒真的很重要哎，哇，你真是了不起哈。然后呢 ，then you see them, you say, oh, you still want to offer them. 那你以后得大财位了，你如果还想到布施哇更了不起。 And then you thought of about forbearance, gentleness and directness, and you are also very wonderful. You will be the one who depart from divisive, vile, unwholesome action and anger. 好，那你不会再想要说你还能够生忍辱心，而且柔和直直，那你会远离什么？远离离间、粗恶、杂秽跟嗔分。好 ，and then you see the people who violated the precept, and you still have a thought that one day I want to leave home and practice diligently. You are the real one. 好，当你看到一般人看到破戒的人哦。不要谤佛法身就已经很了不起了，他还想到说有一天我也想要出家，我要正念出家精进修行，哇，这个善根就很深厚。一般看到佛法衰败，出家人不好好修行的时候，大部分人都想远离，可是这个时候你的善根还发起，还想说有一天我希望我正念出家然后精进修行，就是不好的例子反而让你起精进心，我要出家，我要精进修行，让佛法重振，真是了不起了。 And then you still thought of that, you still give rise to the aspiration of renouncing scattered mind and practice stillness. 你也想到说啊，我的心我要专注我的心，然后我要修静虑。好，等于是说你看到破戒的比丘，你还产生出家的念头，你要精进修理，你要远离散乱，然后你要修静虑。等于是说不好的例子反而让你提起精进心要修戒定慧。好，这是何等的殊胜。好，那完全在于你还能够尊敬这个袈裟。然后你呢 then you will give rise to the wisdom, and then you will give rise to the aspiration of renunciation. 那你就是说你还能够产生智慧心，听到佛法还很喜欢听啊。你不会说哎呦这个人这个法师呢这个不怎么样啊，讲四圣谛我看也是不怎么样。三法印大概也没办法，就是依法不依人的时候，就算这个法师不怎么样，他讲的法还是正法，你还是会跟他相应，你是相应正法。然后呢你还会产生那个出离心啊，哇，这你真的能够对于一个破戒的比丘还能够尊敬他穿这件袈裟，你有这十种殊胜的功德。好 ，So you have 10 such auspicious merits. If you can generate respect to those who violate the precept and who will discuss it. Okay. Now I'm quickly.I have to finish this chapter, and the next talk I'm going to develop what is dependable action. Okay, so now, what is the process? 3 conditions. First, if a bhikkhu who violates the precepts, so.We have to approach this violator bhikkhu and see explanation of the violation. Okay, but who can go to proceed this process? Not anyone. The one with 5 merits and his practice is perfect.Okay, so all of us, 那 国兴法师常常讲，你在他心中没有分量，你最好不要去给人家纠正嘛。同样的，在我们身众，在众身众的我们的身团里面，假设有发现有人犯罪，犯戒，不是每个人都可以说你犯戒。好，请你解释为什么你昨天晚上从跟一个女众从五星级饭店出来。不是每个人都可以去这样做的，在必须在身众之中，其余的人推荐一位具有五德，这个比丘具五德，而且呢他的无不圆满，他的修行很圆满，然后他具有五德的这位比丘推举他出来，然后去找那位好犯戒比丘是来跟他举罪。好，你看佛陀很有智慧对吧，好，身众是以和合为最重要的，所以如果你推举一位哈不是大家都尊重的人去举罪哈，会引起什么吵架纷争哈。 So this one is like Sangha, because among the Sangha, the most important part is harmony. If anyone who violate the precepts, we only can recommend someone who have five virtues and who practice well to point out, to seek this explanation of the violation. Not anyone can. Otherwise, it will cause the conflict or fighting among the Sangha. And also, this representative, this senior bhikkhu, shall examine the case for the truthfulness and severity. He need to find the evidence, and he need to ask for the explanation like the law attorney, you know. And also he need to find out how seriously he break the precepts. It's like slightly or seriously, on purposely or purposely. The punishes are different. Okay, like our law, you know, if you accidentally kill someone and then you on purposely kill someone, the punishes will be different, right? Yeah. So same thing for the Sangha. If you do it on purposely, then there is the expedient way to fix your bad deed. But if you violate it purposely, then there's a punishment for that. And important part is, what is the five precepts? Five virtues. The one. And did, yes? Yeah. Usually, in our Sangha, we have a committee. We have a committee already. And this committee, so the Bill's question is how we select the one to, you know, to do this. And we have already, the Damajong Mountain, we have already have a group of people elected by the Abbot President and the core decision core of our Sangha to appoint a group of people who are senior enough and who practice well and who are respected by our Sangha as a committee. This committee will be the representative if anything happened that need to have this kind of process. It's called 贤守会. I'm not sure how to translate it. You know, 贤守 means they are very good. And so Bill, the question is, 谁推举谁呢？那在我们法鼓山有一个贤守会，贤是贤能的贤，贤守嘛，就是最贤的人。那就是由我们戒长的法师，从戒长的法师里面，然后挑选了一些修行很好，而且又众望所归的几个人，在贤守会里面。那在这个贤守会里面，假设说我们身众有一些特殊案例，特殊状况需要这种人出来处理的时候呢，他们就会，我们就会从这里这个族群里面挑至少三位出来处理，他不会只一位，就是三位。The most important part is, well, it's good that we can find this kind of person. But and sometimes, you know, more or less. But I think these five virtues is very important for us to remind ourselves that, you know, when we handle things, especially conflict things between two parties, what we need to have or cultivate in order to do that. First is the five inner virtues. Is you don't have preference. Like, I prefer this party. I prefer monks than nuns. Then you are out. Okay? So if there is an issue between monks and nuns, you will not be the one. Because you prefer monks. Then if you have any preference, you prefer senior monks than the young monks, then you are not qualified. So you have no preference for any kinds of people. And you have no hatred, anger for any kind of people. Especially you cannot hate, disrespect those who violate the precepts, right? If you do, you cannot be the person. So no preference to anyone you like. And then no anger to anyone you don't like. And then you have no fear. If someone, you know, have strong, what is that? Strong temper. They shout at you and you fear, you know, then you are disqualified. And then you so-called no delusion is you will not be fooled, you know, because some people are very, what is that called? They can say things in a very tricky way, confuse you, and then you cannot see the. But I think the lawyer's mind is very clear. So when the defendant says something, you know, you can defend. They point out, you know, this is not right. So you might have to be clear. You will not be deluded by the lies or some things. Okay. And then also, you know what need to be what is called lex or not. Okay, so you know what need to be point out to the public or not. Okay, sometimes we violate some precepts, small precepts. You only need to go to someone and then repent, or go to the Buddha and repent. That's enough. You don't have to announce to the public and or gather a big group of people to handle this process. Okay, so you need to know what can be done and what not. Okay, so 这五德里面有一个内五德，就是说你想要代表僧团出来处理这种事情的时候，第一个你不可以不爱，你不能说我比较喜欢比丘，我不喜欢比丘尼，我比较喜欢戒长法师，我比较讨厌。我觉得那个年轻的比丘尼啊，没有修行的啊，一定他们都犯错的哈，戒长都不会犯错，那你也不行哈，那你也不会有慧哈，就是说你不会讨厌某一种族群，我最讨厌迟到的人，哦，那你已经在你内心里面对某一种族群的人产生很愤恨的时候，你也不能，那你也不能恐怖，因为有的人哈，他一生气他就怎样？破口大骂，然后你不能欺善怕恶啊！如果你欺善怕恶，你也不能代表僧团出来处理这件事情。还有就是不吃哈，你要头脑清楚，因为有些犯罪的人呢，他好脑筋很厉害的，他就跟你这样东拉西扯，黑的说成白的哈，白的说成黑的哈。那像律师就头脑很清楚哈，因为他们那个犯罪的人都这样乱讲哈，把你弄得乱七八糟的，你要头脑很清楚。马上可以指出你哪里这样，这里跟这样是矛盾的。好，你如果在欺骗的时候，你要很清楚。但最主要是说，你要知道什么应该自制，什么不该自制。因为有一些东西哈，犯小错了哈，你就佛前忏悔嘛。那找一个戒长比丘尼，或找一个，然后你就说对不起，我哈怎样？我犯了这个错误就好了，你不用哈扰众啦，一下子就来把大众都召集起来哈，然后就开始说啊，这个人就要开始怎么处理哈？这样我们法 每天法师们都一天到晚都要去大殿哈，哎对，一下子这个人迟到，一下子这个一个人哈晚上偷吃东西，一下子哈这样啊，每天大家都要去大众哈听这些人忏悔，不是很累吗？哈，就是你要知道什么该怎么样处理哈。Okay, I think when the court select the jury duty, they will follow some of the rule.If you have religious purpose and prefer not to have death penalty, and sometimes they... Yeah. Yeah, so... Yeah. So why is that?
Yeah, I'm just saying in our jury selection process, you know, the jury is the decision maker. And then, of course, the judge has power, too. But when they're selecting the jurors, both sides will ask questions of the jurors to try to decide, is this person prejudiced against my client for some reason that has nothing to do with the case? And if they really think that, they'll say, well, we don't want this person to be on the jury.Now, they can't say that forever to everybody, you know, because, you know, you'd never get a jury. But, and, you know, the prosecution does the same thing. I mean, it does the same thing. They're, you know, but, you know, the system knows that picking decision makers who are unprejudiced is very important. And
yeah.
they try to make sure that happens, but it's not perfect. It doesn't always happen.
Yeah, the same thing for the Sangha. But this is the rules.You know, for selecting the representative to handle the Sangha's case. Okay, 就一样嘛。Bill 也讲说，我们在选那个什么 jury， 就是什么去陪审团的时候，一样哈，他们也会选。假设你因为各种原因，你会有一个你会有这种不公平的这种，或是你的价值观会很不对这个不利或对这个不利的话，他也会把你。就放到一边去哈，那但是他不可能说永远说很完美的哈，那同样的在我们僧团里面也是一样，那你很难说，但是你能够掌握大原则就很好了哈。And then you also need to have the five prerequisite virtues to damn others' transgressions. 你还要有他无德哈 ，meaning that you know the right timing.To point out this transgression, and you need to know, you need to have the ability to the truthfulness of this violation, and then the key is your mindset need to be, you want to be benefit to that person, not try to harm this person. You see, the same thing, you know, in your family.In the company or in our country, why we have a law system? Actually, the law system is try to benefit the majority and also benefit the people who commit the crime. Okay. Once I read the article, I forgot they do a interview with a very famous attorney.He is very famous at that time. And then he always defend for the big crime, like O.J. Simpson kind of person. And people just ask him, you know, why you want to do that? And his answer is very simple. He said that everyone deserves a chance. Everyone can make mistake, and everyone deserves a chance. Okay.And then even though he made mistake, he will try to help that person have a chance to have a new life. Okay. But that's very touching, you know. And then this peer person need to have a gentle demeanor, not harshness. Like, don't, like, okay, you violate this death penalty.You know, every time you death penalty, always very harsh punishment. Don't do that. And you always have kindness and not easily get anger. You need to have this mindset, okay? Otherwise, during the process, nobody will open their mind to you. Like, okay, I made a mistake. I did it. How can you do this? You are monastic. You repent the, or you give a harshment to this person. Then you are not qualified as the representative, okay? 所以还有一个就是他无德。 所以齁，要身为这个比丘要出来举罪的人呢，你要内无德，外无德啊！齁，你要知道知识，我们要学习齁，你错了，还是说等一下没有人的时候说，哎，你刚刚齁怎样？你要知道举别人错的时候，是不是要知道时间？齁，什么时候告诉他嘛？齁，像我就很做得很不好，就是。 就是说，哎，你什么时候该举出来呢？好，那第二个真的还是假的，你要能够判别。第三个利益，你的 mindset 永远是要利益这个犯罪的人，利益这个人，不一样哦。你想要处罚这个人，跟想要利益这个人，你的心态跟处理的过程会不会不一样？ 我曾经读过一篇文章，是有人去采访一个非常有名的律师，我忘记，我要去找一篇 article 出来，很久以前读的。他问这个很有名的律师说：“你是用什么心态来为这些犯罪的人 defend？ 因为他都处理很多大的 case， 重大罪犯的 case， 你为什么要帮他们辩护？”他说：“我认为。” 每个人都会犯错，我认为每个人都应该有什么改过自新的机会。他是用这个心态，而不是说你给我很多钱，我帮你处理，我会拿到很多钱。他的心态是说，每个人都会犯错，每个人都需要一个改过自新的机会。当他在处理这些，即便说他们真的犯罪，他也要帮他们争取什么样？ 可以有改过自新的机会。那我看到那篇文章，看到这里我就特别的感动。好，那我觉得身为一个律师，就要有一样这样的一个心态，而不是为了钱，或是为了要执仗什么正义执法。好，正义还不如有慈悲的心。哈，那要柔软的心，不要很粗犷。哈，哇，听到假说这个人真的犯罪，啊，一听到就很生气。好。 然后你巴不得就要去揍那个人了哈，然后还有慈悲心嘛哈，你听到你会有可能哎呀，真是哈，真是我们僧团真的是哈，这个做得不够好，让你会去犯这样的一个错，好，那你心要柔软，然后你要心要慈悲，那你看哦，要有内无德他无德哈，你才具备有资格去处理出家哈。 犯罪的事情，其实，在我们社会一般也一样。假设我们这个，so it's the same apply to our society, you know. If our law system is to help try to benefit those who make mistake, or every attorney has a mindset try to benefit and giving the victim or the criminal another chance. To be better, then you know the process will be more harmony, and I think our society will be you know better. So law is tried to protect us, not to punish us. Okay. Okay. Finish. Quickly goes through three levels. Sometimes in Buddha's age in India, we all know that there's a caste system, right? And so first. And Buddha is very kind. He accepts people from five castes to be monastic. So it's very hard for the noble level to respect those monastic came from lower caste. So that's why Buddha have to try every effort, very hard, to tell people, monastic, you have to respect them equally. Okay? And first case, if the people commit a if there is indeed an ill-behaving bhikkhus who relying on either the support of laity or wealthy insult the Sangha, this person has been taught according to the Dharma but refused to make corrections, how shall we manage or punish such a person? You see, if the bhikkhu come from a noble family, royal family, you know, my father, my parents are who, you know, who and who, you know, and I invite the precepts and I call my parents, you know, tell the king, you know, or something, wealthy person, give them the money. He refused to accept the punishment. What should we do? That 五姓制度嘛，哈，然后在印度嘛，哈，你佛陀很慈悲，所有的人都可以出家。出家之后，你不能说哦，我是高等啊，什么，我是贵族来的哈，那你这个是什么剪头发的来的法师，我就不要尊敬你啊，不可以，就是这件袈裟你们要尊敬。然后呢，但是呢，即便你是来自于这个贵族的法师哈，就像我们佛陀也是贵族来的，他阿难啊这些一群来的都是贵族来的哈。你破戒之后哈，你还想啊仗白衣的力量或财宝力哈，然后你拒绝，好说哇你哈就是僧团给你的这个 punishment 你拒绝，那怎么办呢？会不会有这种 case？ 当然会有啊哈，怎么办？佛陀说 ，The Buddha says OK。Upali, who keep the precept perfectly, he asked this question. The Buddha said that if anyone refused to take the punishment and seeking the help from the lay people, wealthy people, then the Sangha representative should report it to the king and generals and help, ask them to help to proceed punishment. 就是佛说好啊，那我们的这个僧团代表哈，就是有修持力的人必须要去告诉国王大臣说他们犯了这个戒，他们杀人了，那要用王法来制裁，他们必须要接受制裁的。好， What if such kind of bhikkhus violate the big crime and they have expedient means? For example, they bribe the you know, the king or officers, and then so that the king and officers support them. You know, the first case is we report to the king and the officer. Right now, they are very good. They convince the king and officers that they are to support them. And what should we do? 好，那哦，还有那个恶行比丘哈，刚刚是什么？告诉国王大臣要处罚，对不对？这下好了，他呢可以得到国王大臣的喜爱呢，哈，然后国王大臣是支持他们的呢，这下怎么办？ What should we do? The king say, okay, among the Sangha, for those whose transgression have not surfaced, the Sangha should leave him be, keep silent. For those whose transgression has been revealed, the Sangha should expel the person according to the code of the Sangha. Okay. 那比如说这个哈，这个比丘啊， for example, if this bhikkhu steal and through the process, we know that he did steal. But the problem is only the people who got stolen and the representative And a few Sangha members know about this. And if that bhikkhu has the support from the king and officers, then the Sangha will keep silent. If the stealing is overwhelmed, the whole Sangha knows about his stealing, even though he has the support from the king and officers, the whole Sangha will make the decision, expel this bhikkhu. Okay. 好, 这个也很重要, 这里很, 假设他的罪相没有显露, 比如说就是这个比丘偷东西, 只有被偷的人, 还有处理的人, 还有告罪的人, 知道, 就几个人知道他偷东西, 然后这个人哦, 我们要准备, 自罚, 可是呢, 连国王大臣都挺他, 这时候三嘎只好怎样, 先保持缄默, 好, 不然会怎样, 生团就想说, 为什么, 然后国王那边也要来搅, 整个三嘎不得安宁了, 但是如果他的罪相已经显露了, 哇, 他已经好, 偷骗, 生团, 还去偷居士, 好的东西, 已经引起公愤了, 这时候僧团就要聚集起来, 全部的人一起决定说, 这个人摒除。 Next, the final. What if we, the Sangha trying to expel this precept breaker, but he asked the king and officer to force the Sangha to re-accept the violator to keep him in the Sangha and live together. 还有这种事的，他说哇，如果这破道行这个破戒比丘道行很高哦，他呢僧众已经决定哦，众生引起公愤了，众生已经决定说把他摒除出去了，他还有办法用叫国王大臣用威势凌逼僧众，凌逼是什么意思？ 强迫拿着刀子就是你要接受他回来住在僧团里面，然后拿着刀子说叫我们说要同心把他放到僧团那边住，那他怎么办呢？ What should we do? Okay, this is Buddhist way. Buddha taught us. Okay, we should report. We should report to the king and the officer, why we make this punishment. Explain wellly. But if the Sangha choose not to communicate with the king and officer because they will use the, what is that called? Because of the fear of oppression, because if the king use a knife or the gun and point at you, say, you have to take him again. Then Buddha say, okay, let's leave. Let's abandon the temple and leave and find another place. So let them leave there. And then those who keep the precept, leave. Okay. 那他遇到这种比丘，二比丘也没有办法，就说 那我们还是要跟国王大臣充分说明为什么僧团要做这件事情。如果充分说明，而且大众都这样认为的时候，如果这个国王和大臣呢，还是坚持就是要挺这个破戒比丘的时候，如果会怕引起这种灵恐、灵逼，拿枪拿刀要出来了，那 僧众的方法就是什么？舍本居，就是这个庙给你，给你们住，我们离开。就是持戒的大众离开。反正我们本来就是住茅棚屋嘛，有什么关系？天地树下都可以住嘛。最主要的是持戒清净，僧众和合。 So why we care a temple? We can live under the tree, we can live in the field, you know. And the most important part is keeping the precept and keep a harmony sangha. This is how, yes? Yes. In our precept books, So that's why, yeah. Yes. Yes, we have a huge precept book. We have a few. See, the Buddha only set the precept when there is a people violate the, you know, commit the bad deeds. Buddha doesn't establish rules when nobody commit anything. You know, 所以佛陀自戒都是因为有人犯才自戒。 然后不会平白无故，为了怕有人犯罪，然后定一大堆条规，佛陀不是这样子做的。所以比如说，是有人有这种case吗？是的，在我们的这个戒律的书里面，就是好多的case，开遮吃饭，都是因为有人做，犯了这个戒，治了这个戒，然后治了这个，又有一个人这样那样，然后你要修正你的戒律。So, Buddha amend precept frequently, according to the conditions that how the monastic violate the precepts. Bhikkhu have 250 precepts. Bhikkhuni have 350. But the four fundamental precepts is the must and no amend. Okay, you violate, you disrobe. But you know, this is how Buddha. And then, okay, I'm kind of finished the things. Violating precepts is not the action that all the practitioners should do. If you violate precept, no matter how hard you practice, you'll never achieve liberation. There's a big karma that will prevent you to achieve liberation. But there is a way. Repentance. So I will talk about it in the fifth chapter. And in the fourth chapter, we will talk about the practice of liberation, what we should do. Okay? 那这个无依行法，无依行品，是佛陀告诉我们，什么东西不能做，不能做。你假如是做这些东西，你不管你怎么修什么法门，你都没有办法清净。你没有办法清净的时候，任何就没有办法得到。那接下去，那犯了错， 就永远不能清净了吗？可以的，在第五品讲忏悔法门，会讲。但是下一个章节要讲什么？解脱法门，就是有依行品。那我们应该要做什么呢？才能够得解脱？So I will talk about it in next talk. Okay, thank you.